Joining me in the KRVS studios this afternoon are the two faces of Cajun Face, an original show by Leanne Cherami and Sarah Michaela Brown, who actually are my guests in the studio now. And you all were here earlier in the year, just before you opened Cajun Face at the Acadiana Center for the Arts. And a lot of very lucky people got to see it at that time. And there's been a lot of discussion and talk about it. It was a great conversation with you all before the play. And I would love to hear about some of the reactions that you've gotten since the play. You are reprising the play this weekend in St. Martinville at the Duchamp Opera House. You'll have performances on Friday and Saturday, and we'll tell people how they can get tickets a little bit later. So for those people in our audience who didn't hear the original interview and didn't get to attend Cajun Face, let's talk a bit about the origin of this work. It's not a play in the classic sense of, you know, either a one act or a three act. It's kind of a series of vignettes. And it gives a sense of this being kind of an ongoing conversation between the two of you and a lot of creative discussion that went on. So Cajun Face, the origin. Tell us how you all got started. Was it just a friendly conversation? How far back does this conversation go?
It goes back pretty far. We started talking about wanting to work together when I was still living in Illinois. And I had plans to move back to the area where my dear friend and an artist I respect very much, Leanne,
that's me,
lives. So we did start talking about maybe wanting to do something together. My Cajun identity was something that was on my mind, also on Leanne's. So I think we refer to it as percolating. We're percolating on the material that ended up in the show for over a year at least. I had an iPhone note to where I kept ideas, and, you know, we were just kind of sitting on it, and then an opportunity came up to actually produce the show, and then, you know, it was time to actually put pen to paper, and it just really flooded out. And I think Leanne can talk a little bit about the writing process.
Well, let's talk about, first of all, you mentioned mm-hmm. you were in Illinois. So let people know mm-hmm. when you were there, how long were you there?
I lived in Chicago from 2004 to 2012.
So quite a number of years.
Yes.
So you had a lot of time to think about your identity.
Mm-hmm.
And did that start to happen right away when you got to Chicago, or did it happen gradually? How did you really begin thinking about what that meant to you, your Cajun identity?
Well, I was different, I think. And maybe we all think that about ourselves when we're in a new social situation. But being a Cajun, I just did feel like I was different from other people that I was meeting who were maybe from other metropolitan areas or from the Northeast or, you know, out West. I was very emotionally accessible, friendly, and, you know, not to say I was like naive, you know, I don't think it was that. It was just that easy way that Cajuns have, you know, I felt like that made me a little bit different.
Interesting phrase you use, emotionally mm-hmm. accessible. I hadn't thought about it like that, but that's a great phrase to describe it. It really is. So you were in Chicago for a solid block of time, mm-hmm. I'm sure coming back for visits. Leanne, were you away from this area for a while, or were you thinking about your identity in terms of being in place here? How did that happen?
Yes. So for me, I was an Army brat, so when I was about 3 years old, my dad had joined the Army, and we moved to Colorado. And we lived in Colorado and Texas and Hawaii, and then we moved back to Louisiana. So at a very young age, I had a very strong sense of my identity as a Cajun. One, I think because my parents were going through something similar Sarah went through, and so therefore they were raising children at that time. And two, Belazaire had come out, and I remember watching Belazaire at a very young age, and we were living in Colorado. I blatantly remember that.
Mm-hmm.
And so just seeing that at a very young age, too.
What was your response, your emotional response to that?
I think even as a small child, it just I had this very, like, heart-yearning nostalgia watching mm-hmm. it and just oh, still when I watch it, there are certain parts mm-hmm. that I still get really upset about, even from when I was little.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and just a sense of pride, too, and like, in who we are. And And I think also, too, what helped, and I had this realization when we were doing the show. Originally, we had talkbacks. And one of the other realizations I had was when we lived in Hawaii, it's another state just like ours that's very invested in their cultural identity and cultural diversity. And so I was very aware, too, of my my culture then, too, that it was very unique and very different than what I was around. But it was also it was very accepted. It wasn't so teasing or anything like that, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah. So this is interesting. You all had kind of mirror images. You moved away later in your life, whereas Leanne had spent her earlier life kind of moving around. But even though you were moving around as a child, Leanne, you were still very aware mm-hmm. of your heritage. Did your parents keep that alive for you, or you all came back here enough that you could really feel your sense of belonging here?
I really truly believe it was my parents. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I address it in the show too, in my own questioning of when in my point in my life was I knew who my heritage was or who I was, and when did the pride come in? And I really can't, I even say it in the show, there's no way to pinpoint it. I don't really have an exact pinpoint. It's just always been there. Mm-hmm. And so I really truly think it's from my parents. We had Clifton Chenier in the house all the time, and Mamu and all those older bands in the house a lot. And so we always had the music playing. And I remember my parents cooking gumbo living in Hawaii. And so there's never a
– just makes me think of spam gumbo. Or
right. There's never gumbo weather in Hawaii. Yeah, let's be honest.
Now, there's a skit you could do.
Right. Yeah, right. So it's – you know, yeah. And I say it in the show too, is, yeah. You know, when the gumbo making is dictated by an envie and not by all the right. weather.
Oh, now, yeah, that is an interesting question. Mm-hmm. It's, yeah. Well, so your parents kept this moving arc of the Cajun culture going with you wherever you mm-hmm. were in the country. So you were aware of it early on because you kind of had to be. You were away from it, but your parents were encouraging this the smells and the mm-hmm. sounds and the sights of Louisiana within your own home. Sarah, mm-hmm. were you early on aware of your heritage, or did it take moving away to Chicago? How, you know, sometimes when we're in a place, we don't really have mm-hmm. perspective on it. What kind of perspective did you have before you moved away?
I think I was aware of it, probably not in the same way that Leanne was. I mean, it probably did make it more crystal clear when I did move away. You know, like reflecting back on it, just the way we lived was Cajun. You know, I lived across the pasture from my grandpa's house. We crossed the pasture all the time to go there. Just the things that we would cook, spending time with our cousins, being so close to all of our extended family. You know, especially doing this show, that to me is one of the more striking elements. When we've talked to people about their Cajun identity and things that are so precious, it really is that family closeness that, to me, signifies it in a big way. Mm-hmm. It's the language. I mean, I remember in eighth grade, we had to do like a quote for our eighth grade graduation. And I had said something like, I'm very proud of my Cajun heritage. So at least as early as 14, I was invested in that. But I think it just comes down to how much I loved my family and like the way that we were all so close.
Right. So you didn't have to go away to feel that. You were already feeling that sense of identity and affection for the culture in a very clear way.
But going away made me understand how unique it was. It is unique. And Hawaii and some other places would be the same, but that investment in a cultural identity that we all can share. Mm-hmm. You know, one of the pieces that Leanne developed in the show, it's not necessarily that we're all Cajun or we're all Creole, but we're all from this area. We all, you know, are invested in creating this community that's unique to us.
Mm-hmm. And again, that I go back to that phrase, that emotionally accessible phrase that mm-hmm. you used, and I'd like to come back to that at some point. But that is so often, and people don't say it that way, but we know many people have moved to this area from mm-hmm. other states looking for, you know, being a part of a culture like ours. Mm-hmm. And often when they're asked, well, why did you move here? They'll say, people are just so friendly. Mm-hmm. They're so open. They're so friendly. And that phrase, emotional accessibility, I think really does describe that.
Yeah, I think it's a step beyond friendly, you mm-hmm. know, because I think mm-hmm. you can find friendly anywhere. like yeah. someone that'll be like, hi, you know, thank you mm-hmm. for coming to my store. And oh, let me tell you about our community. But it's that Cajuns and the people in this area have a certain rawness about them, or just this freeness to just kind of be who they're going to be mm-hmm. and kind of let mm-hmm. you into that. And I right. think that's very special.
I want to mm-hmm. tell people who are just tuning in, my guests are Sarah Michaela Brown and Leanne Sheramy, who created together Cajun Face, which they will perform again this weekend in St. Martinville on Friday and Saturday. So you all are coming at it from slightly different ways. How long have you been friends? How long have you known each other?
I first met
middle school, high school,
14 years,
college. Here yeah. at UL.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay, y'all both met here at UL.
Yes.
The Université des Acadiens.
Probably here in Burke Hall.
All right.
Doing theater.
So you're mm-hmm. meeting here again. So doing theater, and that's the component that is a little different than for most of us who feel and recognize maybe our Cajun identity. Not all of us have the same means to express that publicly. Mm-hmm. You all have loved theater for a long time. Did you do that in high school? Was it something you started in college? What, Sarah, I think you were in Cult of the Stage Monkeys here?
In college.
Leanne, were you involved in that, the improv group?
No, I was involved in the other improv group we started, Hubbub.
Okay.
I was a performing arts major here at the university.
So theater and improv were important to the two of you mm-hmm. in college, and you all worked together. So let's talk about that process, about coming together to do Cajun Face. Were you in email? How did you start that conversation? Had you moved back here, Sarah, already? Or
I think it started before I moved back. Mm-hmm. We started talking about wanting to do a show together. We really
I was waiting for her to move back. You were what it was.
Okay. Yeah. We wanted to do an original work together. You know, sometime prior to that, Leanne did a one-woman show that she created. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's just something that I think, speaking for both of us, that we're both interested in as artists, is original work. Mm-hmm. So, and you know, finding someone that you can collaborate with really well, not just get along, but, you know, understand each other as artists, is something that's rare and really needs to be cherished. And I think we recognize that in each other, and we're really looking forward to be able mm-hmm. to work together.
It's like finding a good dance partner, you know?
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So what were some of these early conversations? What did you know would be components of this? What were some of the themes that kept repeating that have become some of mm-hmm. these vignettes?
Well, we wanted to challenge ourselves to be vulnerable on stage. And I think that is probably one of the number one ways that people have responded so positively to it, because we really do put ourselves out there. We wanted to show both some positive aspects of living here and some things that are maybe not so positive or that we struggle with. I know that was definitely something I was thinking of when mm-hmm. we first started. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And were those negative things something that you had been conscious of for a long time? Was it something that maybe mm-hmm. you were aware of in contrast to other places? What were some of those? How did those arise in the discussion?
I mean, I think for me, I really had a tremendous amount of painful indecision about whether to move back here from Chicago. And so you have your, you know, pros and cons list, mm-hmm, you know, and, mm-hmm. and that was a lot of it for me personally. And, you know, my move from Chicago is certainly featured in the piece quite a bit. What would you say to that, Leanne?
Well, and it's interesting. I guess I'm asking this question, too, because since you all opened the play, mm-hmm. You know, these studies have come out. And some of them have shown that this area is the happiest area in the country.
Yes.
And so I'm just, you know, wondering how, you know, and there's been a lot of discussion about that,
yes.
you know, personal discussions, mm-hmm. Facebook discussions. So just kind of curious and, you know, in the light of that, as you're remembering how this decision to both, you know, put these humorous, happy mm-hmm. elements and others that are not so, you know, where that came from. And
mm-hmm. Well, and also I really wanted to do something, not only with Sarah having this new, not new, but like new awareness of her identity and pride. And that is we work with Acting Up in Acadiana. And in 2009, we did a show called Play Music Heal, where we played Louisiana stock characters. Mm-hmm. And I played the mama. And I had developed that character. I came up with that character, and that's where I actually began this this really deep sorrow and joy to really portray and tell a story about how I feel about
your life,
my life, mm-hmm. and my culture, and so that's where I really feel like it really started for me. So even mm-hmm. before Sarah came back, I was already. Really,
thinking about really the full range of emotions that Louisiana characters
right.
feel,
right.
the sorrows for a variety of reasons.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, let's take people through the play. Again, it's not a traditional play with mm-hmm. a plot, kind of, but you have a series of vignettes, and it's not just kind of acting improv. You have music in it, too, and you've written songs for Cajun Face. Mm-hmm. That's a big part of it and something that people have reacted to. So give us some of the scenes that people can expect to see. That you use to talk about these various reactions to the culture.
Well, one of the other things I wanted to do, I was really thinking about this recently too, that I wonder if, in a selfish way, I did this show to really have a nice documentation of my family, because we do some interviews with our friends and family about certain things that we were also questioning and looking at.
That's right. There's a video interview component to it
right.
as well.
Mm-hmm. And we ask questions like simply, are you Cajun?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that started because I had a conversation with some family. And I said, oh, well, you know, because you're Cajun. And they were, no, I'm not. And I'm like, what are you talking about? And it's just some of this, you know, stigma that might still be there, or, you know, I moved away, so I don't identify with the culture anymore, or whatever. I didn't really mm-hmm. fully invest mm-hmm. into that, but that struck me. And so I wanted to start there.
Okay, so that document, that mm-hmm. video document mm-hmm. of people in your families,
and friends and family,
where mm-hmm. you're asking these questions. Well, it, at some level, art is selfish, isn't it? It is
right.
a document of your
right.
emotions, your thoughts,
right.
your family. So I wouldn't be hard on yourself.
Okay, good.
About
Thank
that
you. Thank you.
So in addition to that, well, what are mm-hmm. some of the scenes that you ultimately came up with to express some of these feelings? And
well, I'd say like some of the more popular ones. We have a couple of characters that grew out of this process, and a couple of the characters are grandma characters. They're not actually our grandmothers, but they're sort of amalgamations or mm-hmm. of kind of grandma characteristics. And so they sit around playing cards, and they end up talking about Leanne and I and how disappointed they are in us. And that is really a lot of fun to do on stage. I mean, I guess I kind of gave it away a little bit, because it is fun to see the audience kind of like realize that our characters are starting to talk about us. But another set of characters that appear a couple times is T. Brun and Cher Ami. So I'm T. Brun, and that's Cher Ami over there. And they're sort of alter egos that have grown out of this piece, and they do both a rap song, and then they do a big finale number, which I won't give away, but it's a crowd favorite for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And we love those characters, and we want to do more with them. I mean, they're sort of like us, except completely amplified, 100% confident. You know,
mm-hmm.
no holds barred, you know, total
rock stars.
Rock stars.
It's very similar to our childhood dreams of
yeah.
singing in front of our mirror with a hairbrush. That's what these characters have come out of. And it's so freeing to do this. It's unbelievable. I get
yeah.
so excited.
They're like, they remind me of Fran Drescher on The Nanny, except Cajun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, she certainly elicits a great emotional
yeah.
response from people.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you've touched on that right there. Not only is art a way to express what you've been feeling and express things about your family, but you've created those alter egos that really do give you a freedom to say things that might be a bit shocking,
mm-hmm.
Risque,
mm-hmm.
All this incredible range of emotions that people are feeling at your show.
Mm-hmm.
And what have the responses been? You've mentioned touched on them a little bit, but what are some of the ones that have affected you or touched you the most from people?
Personally, so far for me, mm-hmm. is how much my family is coming out to see this. Because my mom is from Crowley and my dad is from Cutoff. So those two places are not, you know, Crowley's closest. It's only 30 minutes away. But
that's
it's hard.
Continents.
You know, it's hard to drive at night
mm-hmm.
all the way here to St. Martinville sometimes, or to find time in their day to come out. But my family from Cutoff and Lafourche and Lockport, they've all been coming too. And that has been, they've never seen me in anything before. I have two aunts that came to see me in my one-woman show. But that's been, for me so far, very, very beautiful and personal. And mm-hmm. I'm unbelievably thankful for that. Mm-hmm. And it was so great seeing Sarah's grandfather came out. Papa's 94 years old, came out to see the show because we interviewed Papa as well. Mm-hmm. And so that was so special too, to have that there too as well.
And what was his interview question? What did you ask him in the?
Oh, well, he answers a few questions. Mm-hmm. He talks about how he met my grandmother. He talks about his own grandmother. He talks about some of the Cajun things he does that, you know, seal in his identity. Yeah, it was like Leanne was referencing earlier, like having that for archival purposes even is really mm-hmm. incredible. Mm-hmm.
So what was his response to seeing your performances and that video mixed in with that?
I mean, he loved it. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think for that generation, you know, I mean, he's kind of World War II generation, you know, and they really love this culture and they want to see it stay here. And when they see young people, you know, expressing themselves in this way or making some kind of investment in the culture, I think it's very meaningful for them. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I think that was not something I necessarily expected to have seniors be so excited about it. Because, I mean, you're not pulling any punches in this show. I mean, it's very personal. We're like telling our views, we're laying it out there. But
and you're also dealing with some issues that mm-hmm. affect people your age, young women your mm-hmm. age.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but older people have really responded.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And aside from your families, what kinds of responses have you gotten from just the general public, you know, people mm-hmm. who are not related to you? Or
Just the excitement about mm-hmm. the show. Mm-hmm. I also love how we have some friends that are French Canadian that are here that love it too, that are just like, yes, this is Acadian culture. Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. And I just love that because it's such another realization of, yes, we are still connected, even though we are two countries apart. That's still our ancestors and that's still our people. And, yes, we're still mm-hmm. connected, even though they're not in Louisiana. We're mm-hmm. still
so they saw your play.
Yeah. Yes. So they're bringing more. They're bringing more French Canadians. So
more French Canadians.
Yeah, I'm super excited.
One of my favorite comments was David Jeremy from Vermilionville Bayou, Vermilion District. She was just saying that the female perspective on our culture is not something that we get a lot of necessarily. Mm-hmm. So it's nice to see that. So I thought that was a great comment. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And being female, it took someone else out of it to say, this is a great commentary. Right. You know, for us, our goal was never to be, feminists up there talking about our culture.
Academic. Mm-mm. Yeah.
I don't think anyone seeing that would say that about you all up there.
No.
There's more themes in it than we realize.
Right. Mm-hmm. You know? Well, isn't that the great thing about an artist having somebody read their book or, mm-hmm. you know, listen to a piece of music? There are things that maybe you're not conscious of that you know, come out that other people reflect back to you. Mm-hmm. Well, what speak about some of those things. What are some of those things that you mentioned, the feminist part of young women expressing the culture? What are some of the things that you have learned about maybe yourself or this production afterwards mm-hmm. from listening to people? What has been the greatest revelation to you, perhaps? I mean, you've already talked about how it affected your families and mm-hmm. that is. But maybe personally, something that you didn't know before, you hadn't thought about in the same way.
I think, well, for me, when I wrote the when we were writing the show, I was going through some very personal, my mother had passed away in May, and we started writing in August, September-ish, and really, really, end of September and October was really developing the show. And even though I don't make any direct reference to her or have a skit about her or anything like that, that passing, I think,
informed
and pushed my creativity to do this too. I don't think some of the things I would have came up with or done would have, unless I had gone through that. And then now that we're rehearsing, I have a new perspective as my grandfather passed away this year in March. So some of the lines and things I say have a new meaning and a deeper meaning. Mm-hmm. So those are some of the things I'm really realizing that the creativity that's come out through the grief. Mm-hmm.
And maybe that's a better way to say it. You say, as you're rehearsing now, these things are coming to you and you're feeling them in a different way. So yes, as you're saying these lines, as you're going through these skits, is there anything that's affecting you, Sarah?
Well, it's interesting because I'm having not an opposite reaction from Leanne, but some of the pieces in the show, when I read them now and perform them, they seem like they are so Sarah fall 2013. Which it seems like it's just a few months, but it's like I have traveled a sort of a distance since that time. And, you know, there's going to be an expiration on this show because it was
personally.
Because it was so specific to that time. So I find that interesting to reflect on. And something else I was just thinking about listening to Leanne talk is how, you know, I think sometimes as young people, I'm not fluent in French. I mean, I do study it. I might not be the most... I've never hunted an alligator. I know that's a bad example, but I might not be like the best example of a Cajun, quote unquote, how you might think of that. But it made me realize like that I am a Cajun. My identity, how I express it, is important. And, you know, I do have something to add to the conversation. So I think it made me feel more confident about being able to add to this conversation.
Interesting. I love the way you say it was so Sarah 2013. But another effect of art as well that gets you through to another place. It gets you out of one place and into another. Perhaps you understand something more deeply about yourself, but you're getting to another place. If you are just tuning in, my guests are Sarah Michaela Brown and Leanne Cherami, who together created Cajun Face. It will be performed this weekend in St. Martinville at the Duchamp Opera House on Friday and Saturday. So are you – is this the last time you'll perform it, or do you think that you said there's an expiration date? Is there
– we can still go, keep going for a while.
Actually, we're really excited, too, that we'll be doing it at the Liberty Theater on October 3rd in Eunice. So that's super exciting, super Cajun big time, right?
So that's, the Cajun vortex, maybe.
Eunice, so that's – I'm really excited about that. And we have some talks of – performing at other places. We've applied to some festivals. Our goal is to not only share it with the regions around in the Acadiana, but one of my dreams as a little girl was to always go on Oprah and tell people what Cajuns really were.
All right. The next step in the dream. Speaking of little girls, I was just thinking about that. Y'all were talking about yourselves, you know, in front of the mirror with your hairbrushes and everything. Oh, yeah. Do you find that some little girls are like doing Paulson? In front of their mirrors?
Well, maybe. I hope that they don't pause until...
Well, I mean, just in the sense of doing your little dance from the show.
Yeah, the celebration of the pause.
Absolutely. That's another thing, too, is very... you know, we're like playing with the language, playing with body image, playing with, you know, all that stuff. And just for me... that whole bit is very inspired by another performance artist named Leslie Hall, who she plays music, but she has no qualms about how she looks and what she does. And she's created this alter ego too. And I'm like, oh yeah, that's so liberating. I don't know if I could do it like she does it, but that is so liberating.
And you're probably inspiring some little girls as well right now to
be
doing that. So in order to know what that is, Ponson is all about, and their particular version, you'll need to go and see that show. We're talking about Cajun Face. It will be performed Friday at 7:30, and there will be two performances on Saturday. What times are those?
Those are at 2 p.m. and again at 7:30.
Okay. In St. Martinville at the Duchamp Opera House, an old building that's in St. Martinville, a very historical building.
It'd also be good to note, Judith, that on Friday it's the Day of the Acadians down in St. Martinville. So, you know, that's going to be a great day, you know, to come down and just reflect on Cajun culture from top to bottom.
And that's part of the reason why we're doing it in St. Martinville, too.
That is. That is the International Day of the Acadians, and they are celebrating things at the Acadian Memorial there as well. So you may be already in St. Martinville. People should call the Duchamp Opera House.
Yes.
And I think I have the number right here. It's 394-6604. That's the Duchamp Opera House in
Miss Hillary would love to talk to you. Okay. She's so sweet, the sweet little Creole woman that's ready to answer the phone.
Okay. Well, that is this weekend. You can can celebrate the International Day of the Acadians with Cajun Face by Leanne Cherami and Sarah Michaela Brown. But as they mentioned, there will be some other opportunities coming up if you do miss it this time. Mm-hmm. Thank you both so much.
Thank you.